presentation, and it's pretty obvious. It's the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us give a warm, enthusiastic welcome to His Grace, Jutakarma Dasa.
So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So thank you all for coming on this auspicious occasion of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. You know, I've prepared a little visual offering, you know, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, the assembled devotees, and Lord Chaitanya. See, my remote control isn't working, so I'm going to have to control it from the computer. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in Mayapur, West Bengal, on the full moon day of the month of Falguna in the year 1407 of the Shaka era. It's an Indian calendar. And that corresponds to 1486, year 1486 of our calendar. Of course, today is March 14th, 2006, so we're celebrating today the 520th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but He's a very special incarnation. Krishna has His eternal spiritual pleasure potency called the Hladini Shakti in Sanskrit. And the personification of that pleasure potency is Radharani, Radha for short. And she is the personification of pure spiritual love for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is actually a combination of Radha and Krishna. He's a combination of God and pure love for God. And just to make that a little bit clearer, he's called the Golden Avatar. Krishna is normally of a bluish color, and Radharani is a golden color. So when Krishna wants to experience what pure love for Krishna is, because sometimes God, although it's very pleasurable for Him to be God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He sees that the lover of God appears to be experiencing more spiritual pleasure. So He wants to know what that is like. So sometimes when He wants to experience Radharani's pure love for Krishna, He takes on the complexion of Radharani, and that's in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who has he's Krishna, but He has the golden complexion of Radharani, and therefore He's called the Golden Avatar. So when Lord Chaitanya comes to this world, He comes for two purposes. One is an external purpose, and another is an internal purpose. So the external purpose is to perform the Yuga Dharma. So Dharma means, the Yuga Dharma means the religious practice that's appropriate for a particular age or Yuga. Dharma means religious practice. Yuga means particular ages. So we're now in the Kali Yuga, and the Yuga Dharma for this age is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which we've just been doing. So that is His external purpose, to come and establish the congregational chanting of the holy names of God. But He also comes for an internal purpose, which is to experience and teach love for Krishna in the mood of Radha. So that is his more confidential internal reason for appearing in this world. So Lord Chaitanya appeared, as I said, in Mayapur in West Bengal here. And over time, his exact appearance place, which is called the Yoga Pit, was lost. People forgot about its exact location. Then in the 19th century, a great spiritual master in the line coming from Lord Chaitanya, named Bhaktivinoda Thakur, rediscovered the place, the exact place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in Mayapur. And then his son, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, he built a temple at the Yoga Pit, the place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And this is a picture of that temple. And on the temple grounds, you know, we can find a replica of the house where Lord Chaitanya was born. And in that little shrine, you can see deities of Jagannath Mishra, who was the devotee who appeared as Lord Chaitanya's father, Sachi Devi, the devotee who appeared as Lord Chaitanya's mother, and you can even see a little murti or form of the infant Lord Chaitanya there. So near this place, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, established the world headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And each year, devotees of Krishna from around the world, they go to that center, and then they go and visit the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So Hare Krishna devotees from all over the world do that. And that's interesting because in the 19th century, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a very interesting prediction. He predicted in an article he wrote in his newspaper, the Sajjana Toshini, "Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for the day when the fair-skinned men from their side will raise up the chanting of Jai Sachi Nandana, Jai Sachi Nandana Ki Jai. That's all glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Chaitanya, and join with the Megali devotees." So over 100 years later, you know, we can see that has actually happened. All over the world, Srila Prabhupada introduced this Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement of chanting the holy names of God. And it was a fact that people from Germany and Russia and England and countries all over the world began to take up this chanting. And not only that, they went to Mayapur, they went to Bengal to join, you know, with their Bengali brothers chanting. Everyone, all together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that's gone on today, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, you know, 520 years ago, his mother, Sachi Devi, greeted the Brahmin ladies and other ladies from the neighborhood who came to make presentations to the child. And among the ladies who came were actually the wives of the demigods from the heavenly planets who took on human form, appearing as ordinary village ladies. But they came because they understood that Lord Chaitanya, little baby Chaitanya, was actually non-different from Krishna, you know, the supreme personality of Godhead, and they could actually see that. So they came to make, you know, presentations to the child. As Lord Chaitanya grew into a youth and young man, he established his Sankirtan movement. He began establishing the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in Mayapur. And sometimes there were obstructions. For example, once the local Muslim magistrate banned the devotees from chanting Hare Krishna publicly. And to protest that, Lord Chaitanya organized a nonviolent civil disobedience movement. He and his thousands of followers defied the order of the magistrate, and they made a big procession chanting Hare Krishna and came to his house. And therein, Lord Chaitanya engaged in discussions with the magistrate and actually converted him so that he actually became a Vaishnava, a devotee of Lord Krishna himself. So Lord Chaitanya had an older brother whose name was Vishvarupa. And at a certain point, he took sannyas, the renounced order of life. That means he left behind family. He left just to wander about as a celibate monk in a renounced order. And Lord Chaitanya's parents were afraid he was going to do the same thing, you know, that someday he would also leave them and take sannyas, the renounced order of life, to devote himself fully, you know, to spreading his mission. And although they didn't want that to happen, eventually it did. You know, Lord Chaitanya did enter sannyas, the renounced order of life. And here you can see he's shaved his head. And you know, his associates were crying, you know, when he shaved his head and entered the renounced order of life. And that happened when he was about 24 years old. So for 24 years, he lived in Navadvip, Mayapur, in West Bengal. But then when he took sannyas, he left, because it's not the business of a sannyasi to stay at home with family. The business of the sannyasi is to travel widely, without attachment, without a home, to spread the glories of love of God to the population in general. So Lord Chaitanya did that. Of course, this made his mother, Sachi Devi, very sad. But understanding her feelings of separation from him, even after he had left, sometimes Lord Chaitanya, on the spiritual level, would return to her house. Sometimes she would be preparing offerings of food for him. And he would come and actually take the food from the plates and eat it. And she wouldn't know what had gone on, because she couldn't really see him. She could just see the food was gone. And she would think, have I become crazy? I put the food on the plate and put it on the altar, but now it's gone. Maybe I really didn't put it on the plates after all. So she'd go back to the kitchen, look at her pots, and she'd see. And finally, she began to understand, you know, what was really going on, that Lord Chaitanya was actually coming and taking the food that she prepared for him. So where did Lord Chaitanya go after he left Mayapur? He went to the city of Puri in the state of Orissa. Of course, in India, Puri is a very famous place of pilgrimage. In that town, there is the famous temple of Lord Jagannath. And when Lord Chaitanya went there, he entered, you know, that temple. And when he saw Lord Jagannath, you know, just like we can see here on the altar, there are deities of Lord Jagannath, he could see that Lord Jagannath was actually Krishna. He had that vision. He had that exalted spiritual vision. So in Jagannath Puri, once a year, the deities come out of the temple for a big procession, which we also reenact here. It'll be coming in the summertime here, and of course many of you have been to that procession, but the original takes place in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya would also take part in that festival. The carts that carry the deities are very heavy, and normally they're pulled by hundreds and thousands of people with very strong ropes. But once the cart stopped and nobody could get it moving, so Lord Chaitanya himself, all by himself, got the cart to move. Also, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he had philosophical conversations. For example, he had long discussions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the leading philosopher of the city of Puri, and who was a teacher for all of the impersonalist sannyasis who lived there. And Lord Chaitanya converted him to becoming his follower in his Sankirtan movement. After staying for just a short time in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya went on a tour of South India. He walked on foot everywhere, all over South India. And this tour took him several years. And during this tour, he performed many miracles. For example, he delivered the leper Vasudev. This Brahmin Vasudev was suffering from leprosy, and just by touching him, Lord Chaitanya completely cured him, and he became his lifetime follower. And he continued his work of converting others to his philosophy of love of God and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. For example, when he was in South India, he converted a group of Buddhist philosophers. And he also gave confidential teachings to his associate and devotee, Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was a government minister, and to external point of view, you know, he looked like a very ordinary materialistic person, but actually he had a lot of spiritual advancement inside. So Lord Chaitanya chose him. So Lord Chaitanya chose him to reveal to him some of his most confidential teachings about love of God. And actually, Lord Chaitanya, in the course of those teachings, revealed to Ramananda Roy his identity as being the combined form of Radha and Krishna. During his tour of South India, Lord Chaitanya visited all the important places of pilgrimage like Tirupati, Sri Rangam, which we see here, Kanyakumari at the very tip of South India, and many, many other places. And everywhere he went, he was chanting loudly the Hare Krishna mantra and converting thousands and thousands of people into devotees of Lord Krishna. And after they would see Lord Chaitanya and begin chanting Hare Krishna themselves, then they would go back to their own villages. And simply by their influence, the people in their villages would start chanting Hare Krishna, and they would also become devotees of Lord Chaitanya, devotees of Lord Krishna. Then, after the tour of South India, Lord Chaitanya went back to Jagannath Puri, and then he decided he wanted to visit Vrindavan. You know, Vrindavan is the place where Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and it's near Delhi, near New Delhi. So to get there, he set out overland from Jagannath Puri, and the first place he had to go through was the Jarikanda Forest, which was a very wild jungle, just full of dangerous animals. But he simply went through the Jarikanda forest, chanting Hare Krishna. And his influence was so powerful that, you know, the animals, even animals that are normally very hostile or afraid of each other, like the tigers and the deer, were chanting Hare Krishna and joining in with Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So that is how powerful he was. So after crossing the Jharikhanda forest, he came to the pilgrimage town of Varanasi. It's a very famous place in India. And, you know, he came to the Manikarnika Ghat on the Ganges River there. A ghat is like a bathing place. So this is a very famous bathing place on the sacred river Ganges in the holy city of Varanasi. And there, he began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and thousands of people joined in. And among those people was one of his followers from Bengal, Tapan Mishra, who happened to be living in Varanasi. And he saw Lord Chaitanya, and then after joining with him in chanting, together they went to visit a famous temple in Varanasi, the Visveshvara temple. And then from that temple, they went to the Pancha Ganga Ghat, which is another famous place in Varanasi. And there, Lord Chaitanya saw the Bindu Madhava deity of Krishna in a big temple there. And as usual, you know, he was chanting Hare Krishna with thousands of people. And then from Varanasi, he proceeded on to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is the place where Krishna appeared about 5,000 years ago. So when Lord Chaitanya went there, he began wandering through the forest. And in the forest, the animals would come up to him because they would recognize him as the same Krishna who had appeared there 5,000 years ago. So they were very, very, somehow or other, they understood, you know, even, you know, these animals, the deer, the peacocks, they understood, the cows, they understood it was actually Krishna. So they would approach him, they would follow him around, just like, you know, the animals would follow Krishna around when he was there 5,000 years ago. So when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, he relocated many of the places that were sacred to Krishna. When Krishna was there 5,000 years ago, there were many places that became sacred to Krishna. But then over thousands of years, the locations of these places were lost. So Lord Chaitanya rediscovered many of the important places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan. You know, for example, there were two ponds that were very sacred to Radha and Krishna. They were called Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And Lord Chaitanya was looking for them, but nobody knew where they were. Nobody could tell him where these two ponds were. So finally, once he was sitting under a tree, he was in a very deep state of meditation and trance. And then he saw where those places actually were. And so he revealed the locations of the places and caused them to be excavated so that today, when we go to Vrindavan, you know, we can visit these very sacred places. Radha Kund, which is the Kund or pond that's very dear to Radharani, and Shama Kund. Shama is another name for Krishna. So this is a Kund or pond that's very, very sacred to Krishna. So these are very important places of pilgrimage that Lord Chaitanya himself rediscovered. Another place he went to in the Vrindavan area is called Pavana Sarovara. And it's another bathing place. And after he took his bath there, he asked the people, you know, is there anything interesting around? And they said, well, there's this hill, the Nandeshwara Hill. It's all built up now, but when Lord Chaitanya went there, it was like a natural hill. And he asked the people, well, are there any interesting deities there? And they told him, well, there's a cave where you can find buried, you know, some very interesting deities. So Lord Chaitanya went into that cave and he excavated some deities of Krishna and then Krishna's father, Nanda, and Krishna's mother, Yashoda. And he did that in the year 1514 when he was on his tour of Vrindavan. And then later, his followers, you know, built a nice temple on the top of the hill to house these deities. And when you go there today, you can still see these same deities of Nanda, Yashoda, Krishna. And there's also a deity of Balaram, too, there. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed his principal followers, who were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to carry on this work of relocating the sacred places in Vrindavan, excavating the lost deities of Krishna that were there. And he also instructed them to write books about devotional service to Krishna. So these are very important aspects of our present Krishna consciousness movement. Today we can go to Vrindavan and visit, you know, the sacred places that Lord Chaitanya and his followers excavated. We can see the deities of Krishna that they found and excavated and built new temples for. And we can also take advantage of the writings of the six Goswamis, which explain the process of devotional service, how to develop pure love for Krishna. Of course, Srila Prabhupada translated some of those works, like the Nectar of Devotion, you know, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. And our present, you know, Krishna consciousness movement is based on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as they have come to us through his followers, you know, the six Goswamis. So when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in the Vrindavan area, he was just in total ecstasy, and it actually created some dangerous situations. You know, for example, once, you know, he was going with some of his followers across the Yamuna River, which is in Vrindavan. It was a river sacred to Krishna. So when he was in the boat, he saw, oh, this is Krishna's river. He just started wildly chanting and dancing in the boat. And you know, the boat began to flood, and his followers became very worried. Well, what's going to happen if we keep Lord Chaitanya here, you know, in Vrindavan, and he keeps going into these ecstatic trances and doing these things? He may harm himself somehow. So they decided that maybe it was time to get him out of Vrindavan so he would calm down a little bit. So they began to move, you know, back. They were going to go to Allahabad, which is a city here at the confluence of the Ganges River and the Jamuna River, a very famous place of pilgrimage in India. So on the way there, Lord Chaitanya, you know, fell into an ecstatic trance, and he was resting along with his companions underneath a tree. And then a group of Mohammedan soldiers, Muslim soldiers, came, and they thought, well, obviously his companions have given him some poison, and they're going to rob him. You know, so they were going to arrest Lord Chaitanya's associates and take them off and plunder them and kill them. But Lord Chaitanya woke up and he explained, "No, no, no, they're my followers. I just happened to fall into a little bit of a trance here, and so don't kill them." And actually, one of the Muslim soldiers was a bit of a philosopher. So Lord Chaitanya began to discuss philosophy with him, and he actually converted these Muslims to become devotees of Lord Krishna and become part of his Sankirtan movement. Then when Lord Chaitanya got to Allahabad, he met with Rupa Goswami, one of his chief followers, and gave him many important teachings, which are recorded in the book Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then from Allahabad, Lord Chaitanya continued, you know, back to Varanasi. And when he got to Varanasi, He stayed in the house of one of his devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya. And when he was there, Sanatan Goswami had come from Bengal to meet him. So Lord Chaitanya met him there at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And in Varanasi, Lord Chaitanya gave many important instructions to Sanatan Goswami. And again, these instructions were written about by Sanatan Goswami in many books like Hari Bhakti Vilas and others. And again, our whole process of deity worship, the practice of the practices that we follow to develop our understanding of bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion to Krishna, come from the teachings that Lord Chaitanya delivered to Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi. When he was in Varanasi, Lord Chaitanya engaged in some discussions with the Mayavadi or impersonalist sannyasis there. There were thousands of impersonalist sannyasis who were led by Prakashananda Sarasvati. So their idea was that ultimately everything is one. The idea that there's an individual soul or a personal God, they believe to be an illusion, that ultimately everything is just one impersonal spiritual effulgence. And when we get out of our illusion, we'll understand that we're all one. So Lord Chaitanya engaged in some discussions with them, and he convinced them that no, everything's not impersonal. Actually, we are eternal servants of Krishna. There's an eternal personal personality of Godhead, whose name is Krishna. We're his eternal servants. So we're one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna's spiritual and we're spiritual, but Krishna's always a person, we're always a person, and we are eternally servants of God, servants of Krishna. So he converted Prakashananda Sarasvati and all of his followers to become Vaishnavas, devotees of Lord Krishna. It was a very big event, you know, in that city. And actually, still in Varanasi today, there's a little Bengali district there where there's a little temple of Lord Chaitanya, which commemorates his visit there. You know, there's a deity of Lord Chaitanya, and there's this very interesting painting of Prakashananda Sarasvati and all his Mayavadi sannyasi disciples who became Lord Chaitanya's followers there. So, from Varanasi, Lord Chaitanya went back to Jagannath Puri. And he spent, you know, the remainder of his life there. As I said, for the first 24 years of his life, he was living in Mayapur in West Bengal. Then he spent 6 years traveling all over India. And then the remaining 18 years of his life, he was on this earth for 48 years. So those remaining 18 years he spent in Jagannath Puri. So for the first 6 years of those 18 years in Puri, he was leading a very public life. You know, he was attending the yearly Rath Yatra ceremonies. He was going to the Jagannath Puri temple and chanting Hare Krishna, surrounded by hundreds and thousands of devotees. And he did that for 6 years. But then after those 6 years, he began to go into seclusion. He began to go into very deep meditation on the pastimes of Krishna. He was overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Krishna. So at that time, he was living in this place, which is called the Gambira. So Gambira means a very secluded, confidential, isolated place. He spent these years mostly in isolation with a few of his followers, becoming more and more deeply involved in meditation on Krishna's eternal pastimes. So day and night, you know, he was just meditating on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And sometimes when he would go out, he would still be in an ecstatic trance. In Jagannath Puri, there are big sand dunes. So he would think these sand dunes were the Govardhan Hill, the famous hill of Govardhan in Vrindavan, which was very sacred to Krishna. So when he would see this hill, he would just begin wildly running up to it and, you know, chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, where are you? Where are you?" And his followers would run after him. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, he would think the ocean was the river Jamuna, and he would just plunge into the ocean. And once, you know, a fisherman found him at night floating in the ocean and had, you know, caught him up in his net and brought him back, you know, to shore. And then sometimes his followers, to prevent him from doing things like this, they would just lock all the doors of the Gambira and they would stand guard all night. But somehow or other, you know, by his transcendental potency, Lord Chaitanya was able to float through the walls or something. He would get out and go wandering through the city at night, you know, just lost in his meditation on Krishna. And then sometimes he would just collapse in ecstasy and they would find him. And then just to restore him to external consciousness, they would chant the Hare Krishna mantra in his ear. So this went on for a number of years until his final pastime. This took place in the temple of Tota Gopinath, which is a temple in Jagannath Puri, a temple of Krishna. And in that temple, he was there with some of his followers performing kirtan. And it said that during that kirtan, he merged into the form of Krishna. And in that way, and Srila Prabhupada explains this in his preface to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that was the end of his earthly pastimes. During this kirtan, he merged into the deity of Krishna at the Tota Gopinath temple. So I'll just wrap this up with a particular thought. And what I find interesting is that, you know, Krishna has had many incarnations, many avatars. Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world to the material world. So Lord Chaitanya was a very peaceful avatar, a very peaceful incarnation of Krishna. Many times when Krishna comes, he appears as a great spiritual warrior to put down the forces of evil in the world using physical force. And sometimes that happens. Many times when Krishna comes, he appears as a kshatriya, a warrior. For example, in the form of Parashuram, you know, he killed many. In the form of Ram, you know, he killed the demon Ravana. So those are very wonderful pastimes. But in this age of Kali, which is a very dark age, Lord Chaitanya appeared not as a kshatriya or warrior, but as a brahmana or a teacher. And his method was simply to chant the names of God. And actually, he said there are many names of God. It's not that we just think there's only one name. You know, if somebody has another name they want to chant, Allah, Jehovah, Christ, they can chant that as far as we're concerned. Although we like to follow Lord Chaitanya and chant Krishna's name. But once, when some of Lord Chaitanya's followers were chanting, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra in the streets of Mayapur in West Bengal, there were some ruffians, two very, very, very demoniac ruffians named Jagai and Mudhai, began to attack them, call them names, throw pots at them and things like that. And actually, Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about this, he became a little bit upset. So he was going to go and physically punish, you know, these wrongdoers. But then Lord Nityananda, his chief associate, told him, no, that's not what you're going to do in the Kali Yuga. You know, in the other yugas, you know, you were using physical force to suppress the evildoers. But in the age of Kali, you're not doing that. You're the peaceful avatar. So Lord Chaitanya remembered that, yes. So in previous ages, Krishna would sometimes kill the wrongdoers. But in this age, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he's not killing anyone. He's simply killing the demoniac mentality by by chanting the holy names of God, distributing prasadam, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So we should take advantage of that. We should join in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And by doing that, we'll actually get access to Krishna's eternal lila of divine love. So this age of Kali that we live in, it's compared to a great ocean of birth and death, a great ocean of faults. There's so much quarrel and violence and intoxication and all kinds of sinful activities going on in this age of Kali. It's like Lord Chaitanya has provided us with a boat, a transcendental spiritual boat. And if we climb aboard that boat, as you have now, you've all climbed aboard it. So we should climb aboard that boat of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, and we should stay on it and not jump back, you know, into the ocean, the inauspicious ocean of Kali Yuga. So we should stay on that boat, sail back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So, thank you very much.
Perfect, yeah, this is perfect.
बोलो श्री श्री गुरुदेव की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णया कृष्णा चैतन्या